Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
All right, take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Matthew. And we are studying God's Word tonight. And if you need a copy of this Bible study, just hold your hand up and somebody will bring it to you. And while you're just keep your hand up and you can get that. And boy, I'm excited about getting to share tonight. Matt took my spot this morning, but boy, wasn't that a blessing. Wasn't that good? Thank you, Matt, so much. That was a blessing. And so I'm excited to get to share tonight. I just want to say this tonight. We're in this Love Loud emphasis, and next week, I really encourage you to look for somebody to be involved in your life group fellowship. Next Sunday night, we will not meet for the evening service because we are trying to provide an opportunity. We've just done this one other time, so this will be two times in the fall that we will not meet so that we can make a clear spot for our life groups to find a unique place, an opportunity to share in a fellowship time, looking for those that need to be involved. I tell you, I have recently had contact with some folks that have come our way as guests, and God is moving in their hearts and lives. It's so wonderful to see. And then to see the response today, people coming to know Christ, and it is a powerful, powerful thing. So next week is our fellowship time with our life groups, and then the following week is when we are bringing our shoe boxes. I don't know if you noticed in the Gainesville Sun, but there have been two articles in the recent days about refugees that are coming over from Middle Eastern countries and landing in Greece, and they are taking boats, and they are makeshift boats and all different things that they're trying to get to another country. And Samaritan's Purse is a part of the ministry that is receiving these refugees and sharing with them the love of Christ. And the reason that I know about it is that actually a young lady that's been in our service before as a guest is a part of that team. And they actually made a video, and they have Samaritan's Purse did, and she's actually on there and identified on there and making some comments. But it's amazing that someone that has literally been in this building, and of course we have so many that are all over the world that have been here before, but to think that right now there's someone there that with Samaritan's Purse that is receiving these children and these refugees from the Middle Eastern countries that are in trouble. Yes. No. I didn't know we had it, but that's okay. We'll show it at another time. But I want us to be praying for that. And this is the ministry that distributes these shoe boxes. And so I promise you, they will be making their way to people that children that perhaps are not expecting anything at this time of year. So it's just a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. So I want us to be praying about that. Then the other thing I want you to be praying about is, I have been in two exciting meetings today, this afternoon. One was the dinner theater choir rehearsal. We had a great group in that rehearsal, and man, that was fun. And the music is powerful. The music is going to be exciting. And so you be thinking about the dinner theater and purchasing some tickets for some folks that need encouragement. I was in that meeting, and then I went from that meeting to our stewardship committee, had a budget meeting. And can I just say to you to pray for your stewardship committee? Be praying for them as God is moving in the life of our church, and God is moving in each of our lives as we think about missions. And I know that we're about to enter into our Lottie Moon emphasis. If you're not aware of what the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is, that is an offering we take at Christmas time. It normally begins the end of November and goes all the way through December. Now, you're welcome to give to it all year, but it's really emphasized during that time. And all of that money goes to the International Mission Board. Our Southern Baptist Convention has an International Mission Board that is second to none. And they have, I think it's the largest evangelical sending organization in the world. And yet, with that emphasis, there's not enough money to keep everybody on the field. They are reducing their personnel on the field from 4,800 missionaries down to, 4,200. And they're doing that because of budget restraints. And so, church family, we'll be talking about this in the days ahead, but we have an opportunity to do something significant. And if all of our churches went together and really increased our giving to the Lottie Moon offering, then we may be able to keep some of those people on the field or replace them down the road to make an impact in the nation. So this is a huge endeavor, and pray about our budget as we're working on that for next year, that God would be pleased in all that we do with that. All right, we're in Matthew. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And while you're finding Matthew 6, I want to show you one of my favorite verses, and I think it may be one that you know. Without looking at your sheet, all right, so just look up here at me. What book of the Bible comes to your mind when I say the words, grow up? James, all right, good. How about if I say the word, believe? John, all right, good. How about if I say the word wisdom, what do you think of? Proverbs, all right? What about the word weeping? Okay, all right. Jeremiah and Lamentations relate to the word weeping, all right? If I say the word Passover, what book of the Bible? Okay, Exodus, very good. All right, so this is just a review here of some of the books that we have studied, and we're trying to just nail it down on a word, a key word or a key scripture that would give us the overarching meaning of that book of the Bible, and then an object lesson, and you can see those there, something to remind us. For example, the wheelbarrow. The story of Blunden, the tightrope artist that said, if you really believe I can take this across Niagara Falls, get in the wheelbarrow. Well, if they didn't believe, they wouldn't get in. If they did, they would, and not many volunteered. And so the word believe in John is related to that. And so that helps us kind of remember the message of that book. So tonight we're looking at Matthew. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. In dealing with this book of the Bible, I realized even in a greater way the importance of this very first gospel. And I hope that you'll agree with me at the end of our study, the incredible significance of this book of the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 was a verse of scripture I was challenged to memorize as a youngster that really has impacted my life. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is a challenge of all of our life, that if we will seek Jesus Christ and his kingdom, and by the way, the word kingdom, the kingdom of God, that phrase is used many, many times in the book of Matthew. But if we will seek it, his kingdom first, then all the other things just, God adds them. They tend to work out in the long run if we will seek the Lord first. The key word is the word fulfilled. And here's the significance of Matthew. I'm just going to tell you right off the bat. Matthew bridges the gap from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And so the writer, Matthew, is convincing the Jew that Jesus was the Messiah spoken of in the Old Testament. So the book of Matthew is about Christ being the fulfillment of the promises that are in the Old Testament. So the word fulfilled is used about 15 times in the book. And I think it's a good word for us to think about when we think about the book of Matthew, because Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament qualifications of the Messiah. Now, he was the bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. If you look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, the scripture says this: as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. And of course, we know the story if you read on, where when Matthew gave his life to Christ, he realized all the people he had cheated. And he wanted to have a big party, and so he had a big celebration and invited all of his friends to come so that they could meet Christ. And that would be a great thing for us to do as we have met Christ, to make sure all of our friends know the Lord. It's interesting, though, that we don't really see words quoted from Matthew in the Gospels. He wrote this book, but he doesn't say a lot in the Gospel accounts. It was written to Jews to prove that Jesus was the Old Testament Savior. Number two there. It was written to Jews to prove that Jesus was the Old Testament Savior. Go back to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, all of the beginning of Matthew deals with the genealogy of Jesus, that Jesus was related to David. Jesus was related to Tamar, to Rahab. And it goes all through this family tree, this genealogy of the Old Testament, and eventually gets to verse 16 in chapter 1. It says, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ." And then you get into John the Baptist at the beginning here in chapter 2, and then in chapter 3 and verse 17, you have the Lord confirming that Jesus is the Christ. The whole book of Matthew is to say, Jesus is the Messiah. And he's saying this to the Jews. Matthew is saying to the Jews, you've been looking for a Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. This book is so significant, it bridges hundreds of years between the Old Testament and the New Testament by Matthew shouting to the Jews, you have been waiting for a Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And now in chapter 3, verse 17, you have God himself validating Christ. He says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" The Old Testament is quoted some 60 times, and often this title, not only the Son of God, but the title the Son of David. David was the Old Testament hero. David, through that lineage, the king would come. And so by Matthew talking about Jesus being the Son of David, he was nailing it in the ground. He was nailing it time after time again by using that phrase that Jesus was the Son of David. Now, we have some very important sections here in the book of Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount, that blank, the Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5 through 7. We have the Beatitudes at the beginning of chapter 5. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And on it goes. These are the Beatitudes. But this is the sermon, really. Scholars say it should not be called the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon from the Mount. Jesus was on a mountain, and he was preaching to the people that were gathered there and giving his message. He stressed, look at chapter 5, verse 19. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments. So as a part of the Sermon on the Mount, he's stressing the importance of his commandments. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So he stresses the importance of his commandments. He's also stressing and emphasizing the authoritative nature of his teachings when he says, "But I tell you." Now, we have this kind of trade-off. Well, let's look at it in chapter 5, verse 22. Let's go to verse 21. It says, "You have heard that it was said of old, 'You shall not murder.'" This is Matthew 5, 21. "You shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you..." So what Jesus is doing, Matthew is saying this to the Jews. He's saying he's establishing Christ as the one who is the Messiah from the Old Testament, and he's establishing his authority. Because he's saying, "You've heard it said of old this, but I say to you..." So there are a lot of these phrases that he uses in the Sermon on the Mount. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 says, let me read 27 like I did before. You got to set it up. It says, "But you have heard that it was said of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart." So Jesus Christ raises himself to that authority, and he says, "Look, you have an authority in the Old Testament. You have a teaching in the Old Testament. But I say to you..." And every time he does that, he raises the standard. And that's a powerful part of the book of Matthew. He's doing that to show his authority. The Jews were expecting a political ruler, but Jesus came as a spiritual ruler. And Jesus is establishing this authority in his teaching. Go to chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. After he finishes the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about false prophets. He's given them his teaching. Verse 28, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings," he had given them all these sayings, "that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Now look at me. You see what Matthew's doing? He's saying to the Jew, "You have been looking for someone special. You have been looking for the Messiah, someone who has the authority greater than the scribes." And they were astonished at his teaching. And so Matthew was establishing the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. He is the fulfillment. There's that word. Our key word for Matthew is the word fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. And think about the significance of that in the book of Matthew here. That the Jew, all they had was the Old Testament. And so now Matthew is giving them a record to make sure they understand Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And so that's our purpose here, is to write this to the Jews to prove that Jesus was the Old Testament Savior. So in number three on our teaching here, on our lesson, important sections, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer. They said, "Teach us to pray," and he gave us the manner in which we pray, and that's a very special passage of Scripture. He gave us parables of the kingdom. In chapters 8 and through 10, he gives us all kinds of miracles. So, here's the picture. At the beginning, everybody's saying, "This is the Son of God." And then God says himself, "This is my beloved Son." In the next section, Matthew's saying, let me tell you about the authority that Jesus has in his teaching. And then they end that section by saying, boy, they were astonished at his authority. In chapters 8 and following, you have miracles over sickness and disease and demons. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So now, Matthew is establishing him as God, the one who has authority over physical things, over disease. And so you have a whole couple of chapters there. So you see that you have the Lord's Prayer, the parables of the kingdom. In chapters 24 and 25, Jesus talks significantly about the future, and that is the Olivet Discourse, O-L-I-V-E-T. Jesus gave what is known as the Olivet Discourse. And in chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew, he talks about the end times and the kingdom of God coming. He talks about the millennial reign of Christ, when he will come back and he will rule for 1,000 years over the earth. And so all of this is to establish that Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. He is the Messiah, and that was Matthew's passion to do that. Matthew's signature phrase used 32 times was the kingdom of heaven. Number four, Jesus fulfilled key promises. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the scripture says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A key Old Testament passage. And then in Matthew, in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. A direct quote, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And so you see the fulfillment. You have other fulfillments that are there from key promises in God's word. Number five, go to Matthew chapter 16 in your scripture there. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew alone mentions the church. The church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, but let me go back to verse 17. Follow along. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if you go back up to verse 15, was he building the church on Peter, or was he building the church on the fact that Jesus was the Christ? Well, it's the latter. Look at verse 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So once again, now you have Peter saying, you're the one. That's Matthew's passion, is to make sure the Jew knows Christ is the one. And so he mentions the church. He said, take that truth with me as the Christ, and I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then a passage that is, and there's so many in this incredible gospel, but a passage of Scripture that has come to mean so much to the New Testament church in this church age is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now think about that. That's exactly what Matthew is trying to say to the Jew. Jesus is the one. He is the fulfillment. All authority has been given to him. And so Jesus says that, and then he gives what we call the Great Commission. He gives his commission, number 6 in our on our lesson guide here. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Matthew ends it with Jesus saying, all authority has been given to me, and now I give you a commission. And so the Jew has gone through this whole entire history of what Christ did. His power in teaching, his power in fulfilling the promises, his power over diseases. And then finally, his death, burial, and resurrection, and then his commission. And all of this is done so that the Jew might say, yes, now I've connected. Listen, now I've connected the Old Testament and the New Testament. That was Matthew's charge. That was Matthew's desire. I want you to look at one last verse, chapter 27. Matthew is the bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 37. There it is. "Those that crucified Jesus actually came to the conclusion, and they wrote this down. And they put up over his head," where was he? He was on the cross. Jesus Christ was on the cross. "And they put up over his head the accusation written against him, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews." That's the message that Matthew is trying to get to the Jews. That Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And what is it that the centurion said? "Surely, truly, this was the Son of God." So, for a key word for Matthew, I think the word fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled. This is what Matthew would say to you. Hey, Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament promises. He's the one. He's the Messiah. And then, as something for us to think about that hopefully will draw our attention, I would just say, the sign on the cross. I was trying to come up with a word for that. The plaque on the cross, the sign on the cross. I just settled it on the sign on the cross. Where Pilate and those that crucified Christ, they put up that accusation. Maybe you've seen a rendition of the crucifixion of Christ, and at some point they take a board and they write on there, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Well, that's the message of Matthew. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. You're Jewish? Jesus is your Messiah. And he was trying to communicate that to those Jews. And so I think for our word, we use the word fulfilled for Matthew, and then for our object lesson, that sign that they put on the cross. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.